Technology has made the world a smaller place, but there is still so much we do not know. Every week, Postcards takes you on a trip of exploration and discovery. From a small village in Afghanistan to a protected cultural heritage site in South America. From Africa's amazing natural landscapes to the most advanced tech displays in the world. Postcards, where you meet the world without actually taking a trip. Postcards.
Hello and welcome to Postcards, a show which takes you across borders without actually leaving home. I'm Wen Jie. London is launching its Magic Lantern Show to welcome in the Chinese New Year. It features giant lanterns, which celebrate the Year of the Rooster and illustrate China's history as a powerful trading nation. Here, I'd like to share with you this postcard from the UK.
Three, two, one, go! How pretty is that, guys? Amazing!
The Chinese New Year is now an international event celebrated in London as well as in any city in China. In Pride of Place is the Town Palace, which here symbolizes ancient China and its civilization. Next to it is the rooster. Its designers say it's hatching out of an egg to represent the birth of a new year. They've been hard at work on the lantern installations for the past year. It creates scenes from famous dynasties such as the Ming and Tang eras. The whole show is connected by the theme of the Silk Road. This was an ancient cluster of routes which became forged as traditional trading routes out of China. For centuries, merchants would caravan across the paths which took them from Europe into the mysterious Far East, where they sought exotic blooms, colored silk fabrics, and spices. In effect, the Silk Road was the ancient foundation of the globalization of trade. Event designer Yan Xiang and event director Naz Kabir put on light shows around the world. Sean says they chose this year's theme because China intends to revive the Silk Road to encourage trade in the 21st century.
We think a theme. So we, our team together have a brainstorm, and then we decide Silk Road is the theme to go. Everybody say, that's it. That's the theme we want to go.
The paths through the show take you on a journey through the different lands through which the Silk Road passes. Installations start by celebrating Chinese arts such as the porcelain vases, which became enormously popular in Western countries. This ship commemorates Zheng He, an almost legendary figure in Chinese maritime history. He was an admiral in the Ming Dynasty who took China's immense shipping fleet on trading expeditions across the world. For the opening ceremony, a musician played an ancient instrument called Gu Zheng, a version of a zither or harp. The distinctive or tranquil sound offers a taste of China and the Far East. The Town Palace itself is covered in the same intricate and elaborate patterns that augment old Chinese buildings. These pandas are Chinese icons. Event director Naz Kabir says,
it's a celebratory theme, it's to celebrate the Year of the Rooster, but at the same time, it's to explore the Silk Road. The theme is explore the Silk Road and for visitors to come along and see lanterns that represent various cultures that traded along the ancient Silk Road from Europe to ancient China.
Visitors guess at the origins of each country along the Silk Road by the clues in each installation, from the Mediterranean to the Middle East, and from Europe to Central Asia. Perhaps the most famous lamp belonged to Aladdin in the famous fairy tale. It tells of a young man who rubs a lamp and encounters a giant genie who grants his wishes and changes his life.
If you look at the Silk Road today, for example, it would cover probably about 60 countries. So that's how vast that Silk Road was. And it's a massive network of routes and people trading from one nation to another, usually goods and services.
With the Eiffel Tower, perfume bottles, and catwalk models, this installation dedicated to Paris is clear. A traditional dancer capped off the celebration of Chinese culture. The Magic Lantern Show runs in London until 26th of February.
Everywhere you look today, China is in the news. But what about the lives behind the stories? How do ordinary Chinese live and work? And does everyone here do kung fu? Life in China answers the questions in your mind when you think of China. Over a billion people and as many stories from all over this vast land. Life in China, bringing you all you need to know about the real Chinese living here in China.
You're listening to Postcards, a weekly program on events and life stories taking place in different parts of the world. You can listen to our show at newsplusradio.cn. A band made up of Syrians living in Germany has released a CD thought to be the first album released by a group of Syrian migrants in the country. With the ongoing crisis in Aleppo, the group nearly canceled the launch party, but went ahead to help raise awareness of the humanitarian disaster. Here's Shane Bigham with this postcard from Germany.
Abdallah Rahal, a 28-year-old from Aleppo, takes a breath and starts singing the emotional and poetic tunes of Lama Bada Yerthana, a traditional Arab song, from an unknown and long-dead composer. But he's not in Aleppo or anywhere else in the Middle East. He's in Berlin, a city best known for techno music and clubbing. This whole band, called Musicana, is made up of Syrians who've recently arrived in Germany. They've found their feet in Germany, found each other, started a band, and are now releasing a CD. It's their way of teaching their new home country about the land they've lost.
We're going to tell the German people about our culture, about our music, about how we make parties, how we make concerts, how we make the people happy, how we do our stuff. So we're going to learn from each other the cultures.
But Aleppo's never far from the minds of the band and the crowd at the record release concert in Berlin. The music they play is the Aleppo version of Arab tarab, poetic and emotional traditional Arab music, often referred to as a musical euphoria. As Aleppo started dominating the news in the weeks before the concert, with daily reports of a humanitarian disaster, the band talked about canceling the event. They did not feel it was right to celebrate and dance. In the end, they decided that it was better if the concert went ahead.
It's really difficult, and it's really hurt when you see your people always like they dying, and you are really far away from them, and you cannot do anything. You can just keep going and tell the people we on live. We will continue. We will do the best to tell the people about our humanity, about our culture, about our music.
The band was formed months ago after meeting at a Refugees in Concert event in the German capital. Since then, they've played 25 concerts, the largest one with the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra in front of 1,500 people. A self-produced record called The Beautiful One has five traditional Tarab songs on it, known to most people in the Arab world, but mostly unknown to a European audience. The band members were all a part of a wave of hundreds of thousands of Syrians that made their way to Germany over the past 2 years. Rahal had his own business selling perfume and makeup in Aleppo. But as the fighting intensified in the city, he left for Turkey, then across the sea to Greece, before making his way to Berlin. He's now lived in Germany for 14 months. The role of people like him, often referred to as refugees, is hotly debated in Germany. But Rahal's hoping that he can move on from being referred to as a refugee soon.
Actually, to be honest, refugee, that's not my name. It's not my name, no. And it's not my work. I'm singer. I'm Syrian man. But the problem is my situation is I'm refugee. It's only situation. So the people, they call refugees, refugees, refugees everywhere. It really hurt, this word. But doesn't matter, because you trust yourself. You know exactly what you're going to do.
The record release concert drew a mix of Germans and Syrians to the 1920s venue that used to be a silent film cinema before becoming a vegetable storage space in East Berlin. Germans and Syrians danced together as the band played faster and faster. Band manager Rachel Clark says that she was surprised to see how many Germans were interested in the traditional Arab music.
Die haben 25 Konzerte gemacht in einem Jahr. Und, sie ziehen gleich.
They have made 25 concerts in 1 year, and they attract people from Germany just as much as people from the Arab world. English speakers, Arab speakers, Spanish speakers, they speak to everyone.
But even as the crowds danced, clapped, and cheered, there's sadness just under the surface. Heiko Winter says she came out of curiosity and is happy to see another side of Aleppo.
I simply came here. I was curious. I also want to get to know the people and their music. This is a part of Aleppo, and Aleppo is more than what is just happening now. It's also a big piece of culture, and a lot of people have brought that culture here. And I'm happy that we can experience it here as well.
Paul Morbach calls it great music, but says the general situation in Syria is sad and depressing.
I think it is great. It is, of course, great music. It is also, of course, great timing to hear music from Aleppo right now. Of course, the situation is also sad and depressing.
And Samah Hijazi, a 20-year-old student who grew up in Syria, as many different emotions at the same time.
One special song, it was my favorite song. And I noticed that I didn't know what to do. Should I cry now or should I be happy? I can't really be happy because I thought that my father used to sing this song. I've sung it together with my brother and they're all in Syria. Then you think about all of that together and you feel lost.
You're listening to Postcards, a weekly program on events and life stories taking place in different parts of the world. You can listen to our show at newsplusradio.cn.
A Dutch photographer is trying to capture a unique relationship between old-style Hong Kong shop owners and cats. Many of the cats were bought to control pests, but they have become a much-loved part of the city's identity. Here's Christine Schindler with this postcard from Hong Kong, China.
A black cat sits outside a Hong Kong grocery store. It's not a stray, but a much-loved employee tasked with keeping pests at bay. It's one of many cats catching the attention of Dutch photographer Marcel Heinen. He's on a mission to capture a piece of vanishing Hong Kong heritage through his photographs of cats at the local shops. The 52-year-old moved to Hong Kong a year ago and noticed almost every shop in his Sai Ying Pan neighbourhood, in the western part of the Hong Kong island, has at least one cat living on the premises. Heinen took a few photographs of his feline neighbours and posted them on social media, which created a huge following. The popularity of his photos, combined with his own love for cats, prompted him to start a photography book project. But Heinen says his book project is more than just about cats themselves.
But it wouldn't be enough for me as a photographer to start featuring that. It was more the context in combination with the cats. It's one doesn't go without the other. I think they're both equally important. It's the cat specifically in that type of store situation where it gets a little bit... it's a traditional store for starters. It's also quite of interestingly chaotic and messy and timeless in a way. So I thought it was quite interesting to have the cat sitting in the midst of all that. And I was surprised how many of these cats are in stores in Hong Kong.
Hainan was surprised by the vast number of cats in the old-style shops and the popularity of these feline residents in his neighbourhood. For the shop owners, the cats fill both a practical and emotional need. Some shops need them to catch mice, while others just simply enjoy their companionship. Most cats were adopted as strays or given to them by friends. Mr. Yip Mon Lau owns a Chinese dried seafood shop and is the owner of an 11-year-old male cat named Fat Boy. He was adopted at birth by Mr. Yip's wife, who found him among an abandoned litter in the park. He said most shops, like his, need cats to catch mice, and that's why he keeps his cat there.
It would be odd not to have a cat. Almost every dried seafood shop, or at least 80% of these shops, have cats. Because dried Chinese herbs attract mice, you must have cats to catch them.
Mr. Leong Chi Moon is an employee at a rice wholesale shop and says he adores his 7-year-old cat, Ai Dai, who lives in the shop.
I really like the cat very much. I wait for him with food when he comes back from his neighborhood walks at night. He is like my own pet.
Hainan also enjoys the playfulness of his feline neighbors. One of his favorites is Dording. The 13-year-old male cat's owner is Mr. Lam, who owns a Chinese herb medicine shop in the Sai Ying Pan neighborhood. Hainan has always had a soft spot for Dording, because he was the first cat he spotted near where he lives. Dording was also his first photography subject. He and Mr. Lam are on the cover of Hainan's book, which is called Hong Kong Shop Cats. Some of the photos from the book are on display in a Hong Kong exhibition. Fat Boy is another cat that is featured in the book. A central theme in many of Hainan's photographs is a visual illusion of the cat blending into the shop surroundings. In some photographs, there is a clear view of the cat, while in others, they almost disappear into the busy background. Hainan wanted his book to also capture a little bit of old Hong Kong before gentrification takes over.
Besides that, this is an area with a lot of traditional stores, and there's signs of it that the gentrification is happening. Coffee shops are taking its place, boutiques are moving in, galleries are moving in. It's becoming a trendy neighborhood, and this kind of trade may move somewhere else or might totally disappear. So I wanted to capture that for future generations. The photos are actually quite timeless in a way. They don't really show that it's 2016 in most of them. It could have been taken 30 years ago. So there's something to it that captures the Hong Kong heritage, and that's, I think, that there's something that I wanted to reveal there.
For now, it looks like these feline residents will continue to thrive in this cat-friendly neighborhood.
A chance to hear what's new in China with local news, topical reports, lighthearted stories, and travel. It's China Horizons. Check out the changes sweeping China's provinces and explore the fascinating natural and man-made beauty of this ancient country. Plus, the culture, customs, and history of the nation's 55 minority groups. It's China Horizons.
You're listening to Postcards, a weekly program on events and life stories taking place in different parts of the world. You can listen to our show at newsplusradio.cn.
Phnom Penh was once a town which offered a few expat, bars, and abundance of sleaze. Now the Cambodian capital's nightlife is changing for the better. A string of fashionable micro-bars has just opened on a tiny urban strip, offering customers a more refined drinking experience in a convenient location. Here's Victor Ning with this postcard from Cambodia.
Drinking options in the Cambodian capital of Phnom Penh were once limited to a handful of colonial riverside pubs and a plethora of dingy girly bars. That's been changing in recent years with the opening of several upmarket bars and clubs catering mainly to expats, tourists, and the city's rising middle class. Hidden down a gritty unnamed alleyway is the latest addition to the capital's buzzy new nightlife scene. There are several small bars here, each with its own idiosyncratic style, and all of them drawing in big crowds almost every night. Dubbed Basic Lane, this three-year-old development is the brainchild of New Zealand brothers William and George Norbert Munns. The elder brother George was a former Melbourne advertising creative who relocated to Phnom Penh 5 years ago. He says the concept is to provide a variety of top-quality niche bars in a convenient location.
Customers can come and stay here for the whole night. They don't have to get into a tuk-tuk, and they don't have to go from A to B and driving around in circles and getting lost. And they can come here and literally walk over to the next bar. So we've got the aperitif room, which does Aperol spritzes as its signature. The gin and wine bar, we do infused gins. The library, as I said, does daiquiris. Meat and drink does burgers. Hangar 44 does cocktails and we sell motorbikes. Harry's is an antique shop, bar and cafe. We have a martini bar upstairs.
The Norbert Munns brothers are owners of all the Basic Lane bars, but they work with several business partners to help develop and run them. Cambodian-American Patrick Yeung is a co-owner of custom motorbike company Moto Cambodge, as well as Hangar 44, a custom bike-themed bar and showroom.
These little micro bars here are more esoteric and more niche and more boutique, artisanal, if you will, craft, designer, all of the good things. And what's happening is the tastes of Cambodian people and Asian people are becoming more refined, and they're coming here to enjoy these things. You didn't have people that were thinking about lighting as much before, or the details, or the bathrooms. And all of these things are so important for us. And you see it's becoming infectious. And so the scene just keeps growing and growing and growing.
Intimate and mellow with a restrained buzz, Basic Lane has become a popular place for a quiet drink and a chat among pleasant surroundings. Rathana Pio is a Cambodia-born tourist from Paris.
It's a magical place. It's full of authenticity here. It's got a lot of personality of colors. It's just like you're at home with your old mates, back home where you feel safe. And it puts a smile on your face in Phnom Penh. It gives you back your personality. It's very nice to socialize here.
Despite the small business, George Norbert Munns says it does not limit their competitiveness.
We try very hard to make sure that our consumers are receiving top quality service, top quality produce, consistently, and in cool little venues.
With Cambodia's economy growing and people's tastes becoming more refined, high-end microbars like those at Basic Lane are expected to grab a bigger share of the capital's drinks market in the coming years.
With that, we wrap up today's postcards. Your comments, suggestions, or questions are always appreciated. And you can contact us via email at postcards@cri.com.cn. For program producer Zhao Jianfu, I'm Wen Jie. See you next week.